I'm Tom Mason, and this is tape one of the audio version of PDH Online Course 315, 2010 Industrial HVAC Control Case Part 1. We're doing an audio version for people who find it more convenient, perhaps more valuable, to hear the story rather than reading the story. I kind of hope you have access to the written version because there are graphics that I will try to repeat in oral form, but it just isn't going to work. What's happening today is I am reading the material that is online and available for download from PDH Online. At the end of this, you can take the test, get your credit, and renew your PE license. Or you can look to see if part two of the case is available yet, because this is a continuing story, and this is the introduction, the teaser. I hope it's valuable in its own right, but it's almost historic in nature, leading up to the 2010 portion. And by the way, if you're doing this in 2011 or 2012, the technology does not change all that rapidly. I think 2010 still counts as current. The course follows the design steps involving creating a control system for a medium complex industrial HVAC system. It is presented somewhat like a practice case in business school, with frequent pauses to examine alternatives and lessons learned. Now, if this is a big bite for you to chew on, let me give you a little of the background. And we're going to read part of this later too. A large international company is moving an existing process. They've got a plant that makes product and sells it, and they're happy. But they want to do it in a different country. So what we are doing is preparing the building to accept the process. We are not involved in relocating the process. They're doing that all themselves. What we are doing is preparing the building, the facilities design, to accept the new process. One of the details of the process is a lot of industrial exhaust. Now, we're just calling to call them exhaust fans because we're not concerned what they're hooked up to. They are fans. They suck air out of the space and blow it through the roof, like any other exhaust fan. If you're knowledgeable about HVAC, and you'll be a little more so when we're done, if you're blowing all the air out, replacement air has to come in someplace. The reason we have HVAC engineers is to figure out how much you're blowing out and how much you need to come back in. Well, the come back in is called a supply fan. The going out air is called an exhaust fan. And then there's something else called a makeup air unit. And why would we have something else? Well, a fan is a fan is a fan. I think that's pretty straightforward. You can visualize that without much of a story to go with it. If you think about parts of the country where it goes below zero Fahrenheit, you need some heating. And in fact, the process is coming from a place that goes below zero Fahrenheit, and it's being relocated to a different country where it goes below zero Fahrenheit. So some heat is required. Now, truthfully, I was at a meeting today. I mean, we're talking real time, where they were talking about they don't need any heat. The machines give off so much heat that they don't expect the heating units to operate except when the plant shut down. And the plant does shut down periodically for maintenance and other things. They like to run 24/7. But they do have to shut down, and they don't want bad things to happen when they shut down. So a secret just between you and me is a lot of this heating is, yes, for when it's below zero, you still need some tempering air when you're getting that much heat loss. But it's mostly for periods when the plant's shut down and they're worried about bad things happening to the chemicals and the water, you know, all the things that make up a plant. Okay, back to reading the course. We begin with a background statement explaining why the design firm, that's the name I'm giving my employer, received the contract to do facilities design for relocation of a successful manufacturing process for a large international firm. Next, a brief review of the original plant HVAC system made up of 27 fans. This is followed by a review of the original 1993 electrical design for control of the fans. And that's the topic today, is control of HVAC fans. As part of the 1993 controls discussion, considerable attention is given to the different type of programmable logic controller connections which are available and the advantages of each, along with the code and safety compromises of each, and that code being the National Electric Code. In this section, the presentation of the 1993 design is shown, along with comments by the field installing crew and by the current author. The discussion of the 1993's control design is followed by interpretation of the engineering term as built. This is examined in terms of design changes during fabrication, field fabrication changes, certified as-built drawings. By the way, there's a joke there, certified as-built drawings. Ha, ha, ha. And I think you'll join me when you hear the whole story. Finally, photographs of the finished product. This section is enormously interesting to engineers who sit at a computer screen all day long. Their innocence will be destroyed. The story moves to 2009. Now we're starting in 1993. Plant runs real nice. 2009, they decide to keep running the plant in a different country. Plans are made to relocate the plant to a different country with a different climate. The process and all machines are to remain unchanged. The facility's HVAC system must, however, be redesigned. Also, HVAC performance standards and fabrication standards have changed in the intervening 15 years. Now, what's going on here? Is there something under the surface that we're implying but not saying? Yes, there was a bunch of evaporative cooling equipment in the original design which won't work in the new climate. Now, if you don't know what evaporative cooling is, that's fine. It's something that is a peculiarity which is very successful in desert climates, and it doesn't work in humid climates. The 2009 requirement for a different 29 fans is discussed, focusing on the difference in controls requirements and only slightly looking at the differing performance. The first relocation HVAC controls design, which we will refer to as Reloc 1, Relocation 1, was a straight upgrade of what was certified to be the as-built installation. However, later examination of the photographs forced a redesign to utilize the three large control cabinets as they were fabricated. We're going to call this Reloc 2. Finally, for part one of this course, the client decided to replace the three large control cabinets with three personal computers running HMI, human-machine interface. This leads us to Reloc 3, which is discussed but not performed. Part two of this course will discuss the PLC and HMI design approved by the client and the system as fabricated by the systems integrator. Now, you might wonder why we got part one and part two. Well, because at the time this course is being written, part one is done. It is history. It's something we can report. Part two is planned, and it looks terribly interesting. And as part of the plan, I will tell you about it after it's done. When it's in the can and we have a piece of history to report, I will share them with you. That will be part two, which is must be available in 2010, because they're going to move in and start using that plant. And if they're not happy with what they've got, they're going to patch it together so they are happy with what they got, and they will be operating in 2010. Upon completion of this course, the student will be able to correctly use the terms exhaust fan, supply fan, and makeup air unit with an HVAC designer or controls contractor. There's a little more to each of these, and we will talk about that a little more. Understand the need for a motorized damper on a fan. Understand the operation and wiring of a motorized damper. Understand the components which constitute a complete makeup air unit. By the way, there are a lot of different, let's not say devices, compilation of devices making an assembly. There are a lot of different assemblies that carry the name makeup air unit. We won't talk about all of the possibilities. We'll talk about the one that's being installed in this plant. Understand enough of the internal controls of a makeup air unit to add external relays to alarm critical functions. recognize the special controls requirement of a cooling tower fan, sump pump, return pump, and the alarms necessary. Understand power and controls for a large air compressor. How large? 350 horsepower. Yeah, there's bigger ones around, but this is bigger than you're going to see in the nearby garage or in your basement. Prepare a preliminary design for monitoring of process gases, including sulfur dioxide. Now, sulfur dioxide is a little bit interesting, and I had encountered it before. So I knew what to do with sulfur dioxide. And part of this story is what the client decided to do with sulfur dioxide. Support the justifications presented for replacing the large panels with three personal computers in 2010. Participate in the concerns introduced by personal computers in critical industrial controls. Read ladder logic in both physical and PLC form. Now, if that doesn't mean anything to you right now, good thing you're taking the course, because that's what we're going to do later on. We're going to do examples of ladder logic and ladder logic in what I call physical. I don't think anybody else calls it physical, but let's say historic form. And in PLC form, which an awful lot of highly skilled people do today. But we're going to be able to read a little bit of that when we're done. Check relay ladder logic for compliance with safety requirements in standard form. Explain the limitations of hand-off auto selector switches and start-stop push buttons. Understand the trade-offs between isolated and common input and output cards. Explain the benefits of a graphic touchscreen operator interface terminal when using text. The course is intended for electrical design engineers who do not work daily with HVAC controls. It will be of value to HVAC designers who do not have direct knowledge of the electrical requirements to make their systems work. It will be of value to design and project managers who need to be able to ask the hard questions. It will be of value to engineering construction services personnel who must make last-minute changes to get to the systems to work. The value provided by this course is in introducing concepts to persons who have not encountered them previously, and to provide confidence in understanding to persons who follow previous examples when they're doing their work but don't understand the choices available. Well, in 1993, the design firm, which I'm going to call TDF, received a contract to prepare construction documents for a proprietary manufacturing process at a remote location of large international company, which I will call LIC. The design firm worked well with large international company, and when LIC decided to relocate the process intact to a different country, they again contracted TDF for construction documents. Because the process is proprietary and subject of trade secret laws, TDF is very careful to conceal process details when bidding the facility design. Please join now in a brief review of the 1993 HVAC controls design and the 2009 relocation. This part of the course stops when a large industrial corporation makes a substantial scope change for the HVAC controls. Part 2 will finish the story. There's a section called Related Links and References. What I did was I picked each of the topics that were discussed in the course. I did an internet search on them, and I grabbed the URLs, the internet addresses of the people who said intelligent things on each subject. So, for instance, when we're talking about exhaust fans, Greenheck is listed, because Greenheck sells, I would guess, 90% of the exhaust fans that are installed industrially in America. I mean, their catalog tells everything there is to know about exhaust fans. And they give you pictures. And actually, there's a tremendous range of exhaust fans, but you'll see that there's a lot of similarity. there are a lot of interesting links there, and I'm not going to read the links to you. They're in the written version. If you're driving down the highway at 65 miles an hour now, I don't care if you do have Wi-Fi connection. I don't want you typing in and reading their websites. Okay to listen a little bit to me and stop the CD when the traffic gets heavy, but please don't look down at the screen. The course is being presented as the narration of a story of building a manufacturing plant and relocating the process to another site. There is an attempt to follow the case form used in business school and being adopted in some engineering schools. Now, in the written version, I find that my mind is terribly fragmented. I go off in many different directions. And that's who I am. That's what I'm presenting to you. So periodically in the written version, I have boxed information, which is an aside or called a sidebar when some people do it. In any event, it's related, but it's not core content. So this is one of those sidebars. What does he mean by case form? A long-standing form in engineering school has been to state a problem under three headings: given, find, and solution. Every homework I remember from college, and I'm sure there were many exceptions, was in that form. Very succinct, aids the student in focusing on the question and the data available. That is essentially what's being attempted in this course. Given, the original industrial HVAC controls design in 1993, with a lot of narration, and again, that's what we're going to do here, is discuss the 1993 design. Find, a 2009 HVAC controls design using the original panels and PLC but accommodating a different number of fans and fan internal controls. And we'll see what those changes are that must be accommodated. Solution, the efforts made by the designer are presented with frequent pauses to discuss implications enclosed in boxes like this one. Sometimes open-ended questions will be left for the student. Evaluation. But that's not included here. The scope of the project was changed substantially after construction documents were released for bidding. There will be a redesign which will be reported in a promised part two of the course. The following chart, and yes, it's going to be fun relating this chart, summarizes the 1993 facility design followed by explanations of the terms. And this is the first graphic in the course, and what it says is Design 1, 1993. There are exhaust fans 1 through 16. They're each 3 horsepower. Now, actually, I cheated a little bit. I think like 14 of them were 3 horsepower, and there were some other weirdos, but they were almost all 3 horsepower. So for discussion purposes, we're only going to say they were all 3 horsepower. Of EF 1 through 16, numbers 9 and 10 were 2 speed, because the HVAC designer in 1993 thought it was a good idea. There were supply fans 1 through 6, each 5 horsepower. There were 2 makeup air units, abbreviation MUA. They were called MUA1 and MUA2. They were 100 horsepower each. They were direct fired. Now, I don't want to get ahead too much. Direct fired means there's a flame in the airflow, and the heat that becomes the flue gas blows down the airflow and people breathe the products of combustion. That is a direct fired heater. Okay, that was makeup air units 1 and 2, 100 horsepower, direct fired. There were also makeup air units 3, 4, and 5 that were 30 horsepower. There was a cooling tower. We'll talk about that a little later. There were 2 air compressors, air compressor 1, air compressor 2, at 350 horsepower, and process gases, including sulfur dioxide. The PLC, which is also listed on the summary, included an HVAC control panel, a pump control panel, and a pump and HVAC indicator panel, which contained 4 strip charts. The 4 strip charts will be very, very interesting. I think you'll join me in scratching your head and learning a few things on how you run a plant by the application of strip charts and how you get the same value in 2010 without strip charts, or maybe we'll just duplicate the strip charts. In Design 1, controls were done with HOA, run. What that means is handoff auto selector switches and a light that says run. Now let's see how the fellow who wrote this defined the terms used. EF equals exhaust fan. Typical tags are EF1, EF2, and such. There were 16 in the first 1993 design. Of these, EF9 and EF10 were two-speed motors. The two-speed motors give two different rates of airflow, discussed more later. SF equals supply fan, again tagged by SF1, SF2, and such. There were six in the first 1993 design. All of the 1993 supply fans were considerably more complicated than the 2009 versions. Makeup air unit. By convention, this is an assembly including heating and sometimes cooling. Notice that the makeup air units were big motors and utilized direct fired heaters. You breathe the flue gas. If I'm overly redundant upon this, it's because that's the way my mind works. I mean, some things really stick in my mind, and I do repeat them. And also, I put them on the quiz. So I'm sharing with you, there's a benefit on the technical term, you breathe the flue gas. You'll see that again. A cooling tower is an assembly which includes a big fan, a box with air slots containing fill, which splashes the water around it as it comes down, a catch tank at the bottom, at least two pumps, and lots of accessories. Now this is called an open-loop cooling tower. It's the only one we're going to talk about today. There is another form that's called a closed-loop cooling tower, and it's not really more complicated. It doesn't work as well. I'm sorry. I try to think in my mind, why would we have two kinds of cooling towers? Well, the open cooling tower works great. It has some limitations, which are primarily below freezing. It still works below freezing, but it takes some attention to get it to work below freezing. A closed-loop cooling tower does not splash the process water down across the fill. It keeps the process water in a closed heat exchanger. It's never exposed to the air. And it may splash water down the outside of the heat exchanger, or it may just blow air across it. I've seen these in process applications. We called them fin fans. We didn't call them closed-loop cooling towers, but that is the current terminology. And if you go to a cooling tower website, they will give you a choice between open loop and closed loop, and that's what they're talking about. We're talking about open loop. Air compressor, AC, a process used a lot of compressed air, and there were two big compressors. Now, that's absolutely true, and I don't want to suggest otherwise, but the reason there were two was one was a backup. They needed that air. They could run the plant on one of them. Having two meant they always had compressed air. And they're mechanical devices. They have maintenance problems. Keep running and work on the other one. Process gas is a little out of the ordinary in manufacturing. Deserves special controls and safety attention. Sulfur dioxide is toxic and has some unique characteristics. We've been talking for a little over 20 minutes. I'm ready to take a break now. You're welcome to continue to tape two of the session, or take a break and do something for yourself as well.